Chapter 1. Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. Eddie Westwood's steel-grey hair, the consistency of blow-dried wire wool, cascaded around his shoulders, passing the gaping bloody wound that stretched over his neck. His jet-black beard had been carefully trimmed, and clumps of wispy white hair were scattered over his chest. There must have been a lot of blood, and looking down at him on the gurney in the mortuary brought to mind the disgust in the voice of the young sergeant who'd reported the discovery of the body near the Cardiff City Stadium the previous evening. Dr. Paddy McVeigh, the pathologist, hummed along to some orchestral music thumping in his earphones. I caught the stale smell of second-hand alcohol on his breath, which reminded me that I hadn't touched a drop for over a year, but the memories of when the bottle ruled my life still cast hard shadows over my mind. Once Paddy had finished his preparation, he paused and gave me a smile of eager anticipation. I always like to see a man happy with his work in life. He tugged at the leads hanging from his ears, and the sound of violins filled the air until he fiddled with the handset and the noise died.
"Quite the specimen."
Paddy's Irish accent made the body sound like an experiment from a Dracula movie.
"I don't think I've seen a corpse with so much hair before."
I made an exaggerated gesture of looking at my watch. As the senior investigating officer, I should really be in the incident room by now, especially as the cause of death was glaringly obvious. "Can we get on with this?" I said. Paddy reached for a scalpel and made a deep incision in the body. Boyd Pierce, standing by my side, gave an uncomfortable cough and thrust his hand to his mouth. Newly promoted to detective sergeant, he had a sensitive stomach at the best of times, and I frowned at him, hoping a silent reprimand would prevent the contents of his stomach reaching the mortuary floor. He gave me a weak shake of his head before leaving the mortuary seconds later. The post-mortem was completed quickly enough, and Paddy stood back and gave the corpse a satisfied, contented look before sighing.
"Massive blood loss," he said, nodding at Westwood. "It must have been a very sharp knife by the look of the wound. I might be able to give you a better idea once we've looked at it in more detail."
"When can you send me the report?"
"I'll do what I can later today, but there's a multiple fatality from the motorway I need to get to grips with, and the coroner wants that dealt with as a priority."
I nodded and left Paddy before finding Boyd sitting in the pool car, head propped back against the restraint, the window open a few inches. He stirred when he realised I was standing outside. I leant against the front wing and lit a cigarette, the second of the day, and let the smoke fill my lungs as Boyd left the car.
"I don't do blood," he said.
"It's part of the job." Boyd knew that every SIO should attend a post-mortem, and I wondered if he was cut out for working on a murder inquiry.
"Give me time, boss."
I nodded and finished the cigarette, knowing the investigation into a series of burglaries from my apartment in the bay would have to wait. There would be hundreds of passers-by and dozens of possible witnesses, which meant a public appeal for witnesses. We drove back to Queen Street as I mentally ticked off my ever-increasing to-do list.